I am pleased to let you know that a good friend of the church is, one of our deacons, will be bringing the message today. Jimmy comes with many years of experience, and I personally have been very impressed with this man of God, especially his servant-like attitude. And so today's message will be brought by one of the deacons of the church, Jimmy.
A few weeks ago when Pastor Tom, at one of our board of directors meetings, he asked me, "Hey, Jimmy, what do you think about preaching and my absence of preaching sometimes down the line?" And I was totally shocked, you know. But it's actually at the same time very humble to be able to share the pulpit with Pastor Tom, Pastor Colin, Pastor Ed. I was just really humbled by this opportunity. But if you think it's my first time doing this, it really hasn't been. It's actually been the first time in 20 years, though. I've been through a lot of ups and downs and storms of life, but I've praise the Lord, I've come through it. And so before we get started, let's bow for a word of prayer, okay? Dear Father, I simply ask that you speak through me, Lord, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would do what he does best, and to be able to, during this time, open our hearts and our ears, Lord, as we hear your word. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. About 15 years ago, I was involved with a men's Bible study, and the Bible study leader always started the Bible study with a question, okay? And one of those questions was, what clothes should Christians wear? Now, what's going through your heads right now? Any idea? Come on, let's hear it.
Modest.
What?
Modest.
Anyone else?
Righteous.
Humble. How about shorts? Yeah. How about a tie? I don't know about you here, but I was sort of cringing here. That's right. Flip-flops or your best Sunday shoes, right? But I was sort of cringing because we had the older men here and the younger men here, if you know what I mean. Okay? And I was thinking that, actually, I started a gulp, and I was more or less thinking the word yikes. And the reason why is because I think it could have been an opportunity where you could open a can full of worms or open Pandora's box. Okay? But then I started to breathe a sigh of relief, and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to be really staying in this text for a while. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and following. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and following. As I said, I started to breathe a sigh of relief when he had us actually open to this text. And listen very carefully, because you'll understand why I started to breathe a sigh of relief here. It says here, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and so on." Okay? So these are some of the things that it's pretty clear, pretty obvious that all of us should wear as Christians, right? What I'm going to do is to concentrate on actually one particular clothing that we should wear. And you see later in the text here, it's in the area of forgiveness. Okay? I believe if forgiveness is done properly, it could promote incredible healing for situations where you might actually be rejected or betrayed by a very good friend or abused emotionally, physically by your spouse or even experiencing backstabbing from the people within the church walls. Things like that. If we do it properly, tremendous healing can occur. But on the other hand, I believe forgiveness is often misunderstood, meaning that when it really comes to really forgive, do you really know what's involved? Now, we obviously might know what forgiveness is, but how do you begin the process of forgiving someone who has really tremendously hurt you? Pastor Tom, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but and also with Sissy as well, but as you guys might know, several years ago, Pastor Tom and Sissy lost one of their sons due to a drunken driver. Now, obviously, knowing the grieving process, he went through denial, perhaps, shock, anger, am I right? Okay. But being a pastor and a pastor's wife, try to be honest with me. Did you guys have any clue how to start the healing process? Right. Okay, but even before, yeah, right. But I think if you're honest, right, you really had no clue, in a way. So, how do we begin the process of forgiveness? Now, obviously, if you look at the scripture here, Paul doesn't define it, right? Okay, let me just read this here. It says, I'm going to concentrate on verses 13 through 15. Okay, let me just read that here. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace here. If you look at this text here, Paul doesn't define forgiveness here. He assumes it, right? Okay, and so what I'm going to do here, before we really just dive into this text, is to simply define it. Basically, as you can see from the text, it involves a grievance or a complaint you have against someone and the hurt that is obviously associated with it. And you can see Paul making references here. He says here, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances. A grievance or a complaint is something that you have against someone who has hurt you, who offended you. And so what is forgiveness? It's simply to let go. Let go of the grievance or the complaint against someone who has done you wrong. And as a result, listen to this. This gives us, it more and more this brings out what is forgiveness here. And it's something that Lewis Smead had written over 20, 30 years ago. I believe the book is out of print. You might have heard of it. It's called Forgive and Forget. A classic book in forgiveness and forgetting here. But he says here, when you forgive, you will not bring up the grievance again. When you forgive, will you not think? You will not think about it again. When you forgive, you will not talk to others about it again. When you forgive, you will not let it stand between you and the person who had wronged you. It's simply to let go of the grievance or the complaint you might have against that person who has hurt you. So the question I have is, if this is forgiveness here, how then do we actually figure out what's involved with forgiveness here? I don't think I've really heard too many sermons in terms of the process involved. Obviously, like I said, we know it, but how do you go through the process, right? And so this text here, I believe, gives what I call four dimensions for forgiveness here. I'm going to briefly outline this here. What is the first dimension here? It's what I call the manner or the approach to forgive. Okay, we see that here very clearly in verse 13, right? It says here, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another here. To bear. To bear means to endure, to actually persevere through it here. So when it comes to forgiveness, it means to endure, persevere through the grievance or the complaint that you have against someone here. And I think one of the better illustrations about bearing a very difficult situation besides Christ himself are women who have gone through childbearing. Am I right? Yes. Am I right? I'm sure women can probably agree, right? Okay. And husbands who have actually witnessed it may just have a little clue about what it's involved, what's it like to bear children. And for those who actually have perhaps watched it on TV, well, you might get a semblance of it here. So what happens when women actually bear children? What do they do? Anyone? They scream. Right. What else? They could swear. That's true. To be honest, they could swear. But what else? Yeah, you know, the husband's true. And they sweat. What's that? Squeeze their hands. They sweat, right? Okay. And I think you guys know what, I think that's a great illustration, isn't it? Okay. One thing I did forget to say is that when we bear, of course, we endure the pain here, but also we should have the manner or the approach to not to retaliate or strike back here. So when women who are bearing children start to actually tell their husband to come here and grab their neck and say, you're the one who's to blame here, and that's more or less crossing the line, okay? Will you guys agree? Okay, that's right. So I'd like to give you three quick tips about how to actually bear with another when it comes to forgiveness here. First of all, honestly identify how you feel and to own it. So when it comes to, for example, a situation when you actually catch your spouse cheating on you, it's very important to identify that feeling. It could be that you're very angry, betrayed, and at the same time being very tempted to do the same thing. Now, that's being very honest. You have to really identify how you feel to own it here. And also, the other thing here is that you also have to let the other person who has hurt you to know how you feel as well. They're not crossing the line by saying, I'm going to wring your neck, right? Okay, the second thing, really briefly, is that you have to start to process the pain and the hurt. And that's very simple here. You might actually find a friend whom you can trust, okay, and to listen to you. Very simple. But also, you can learn how to pray through your hurt here. And turn with me quickly to Psalms 59, I believe, here. This gives us a very classic example of how David prayed through his hurt. Psalms 59. This is a psalm about King David, whose very father Saul had actually sent out some bounty hunters to David's house to ultimately kill him. And I just want you to just read with me a few verses here, Psalms 59, and here it reads, verse 1, deliver me from your enemies, O God, protect me from those who rise up against me, deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloody thirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me, fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, O Lord. I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me, look on my plight. Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations and show no mercy to wicked traitors. That's pretty honest, isn't it? Okay, he had done nothing wrong, yet this is how he's feeling. He wanted God to really just show it to him, show no mercy, and to eliminate him. Okay, that's what you can do in the midst of your hurt, to pray out your hurt, to vent it, not only with your prayers, but also with other people. And the last thing is that if there's one thing you should expect from the other person who hurts you, it's for them to expect it to do it again. Okay, and let's turn quickly to Luke 17. 17 verses 3 and 4. This is what it says. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. No brainer, right? If he sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, what are you supposed to do? Forgive him again, right? So don't be surprised that person might come back to you with the same type of, sin, and for you to do it all over again to forgive that person. And another text would say to forgive 70 times 7, right? To honestly identify your hurt, to take ownership of it, to process the pain, and to expect the hurt to occur again and for you to forgive yet again. That's dimension number one, the manner and approach when it comes to forgiveness, to bear with each other. What's the second dimension here? It involves what I call the magnitude or the extent of forgiveness, okay? Read with me here. If you go back to Colossians chapter 3, it's very clear. It says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances. That's in the New International Version here, okay? Whatever grievances, what does that mean? Anything, all grievances, from a small white lie to a person who might murder someone whom you love. Okay? It's clear. Black and white, Pastor Tom, right? So what is it saying here? It means to be able to not pick and choose who or what to forgive, or to forgive all grievances or complaints we have about people. And I got to admit to you, that's a pretty tall order, especially when it comes to the bigger grievances, complaints, like murder, things like that. But there's hope. Okay, and that comes in the third dimension here. The third dimension is what I call the model or example of forgiveness here. And let's read with me. What does it say? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, I was grappling with this particular text here. I could easily actually, Jesus himself actually made made people feel guilty about, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. In fact, I think one translator put it, you know, if you don't forgive here, you know, you might just go down to hell. Okay, I could have done that. Okay, but I'm going to take a different approach here. I remember back in the 1990s, I was walking, you know, through a playground, and I noticed little boys and girls playing some basketball. And it was a lot of fun to watch. They were just very childlike, playing a lot of basketball with each other. But they reminded me of one person, one of the greatest basketball players, I believe, who's played basketball, and his name is MJ, or Michael Jordan, you guys know. I had the privilege to be able to see him play in person when I lived in Chicago, and also I had the privilege to be able to see him play many times on TV. I think he's perhaps the greatest basketball player anyway, but the beautiful thing was seeing these kids just being like Mike, right? And that also reminded me of a commercial back in the 1990s. It was a Gatorade commercial. I'm going to just, you guys come up closely here. I don't expect for you to really see this or even understand what is being said, but I want you to listen just the tune, not so much the words, what you can see, but see if you can better identify it, okay? I sort of hinted at it anyway, right? So, but let me play it for you. It's a jingle that you won't forget, right? I don't know about you, but it's something, when I saw these kids play, I remember this commercial about, you know, Gatorade. But anyway, here's what I'm getting at. Let me just go over some of the words of the jingle. Okay, here's what it says here, right in the beginning. Sometimes I dream that he is me. I want to be like Mike. If I could be like Mike, I dream I move. I dream I groove, be like Mike. If one day I could be like Mike, that'd be great, okay? Then the ending of the commercial, it says here, be like Mike, drink Gatorade. What a commercial. That's very effective, isn't it? You know? So, well, how does this relate to us? Well, when it comes to God's children, right, I think the jingle could be sort of like this, okay? Sometimes I dream that he, that is God, is me. I want to be like God. I dream, I live. I dream, I forgive. If I could be like God, if one day I could be like God, at the end of the commercial it says here, be like God, forgive. All right? It's simple. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Okay, that's the third dimension. Okay? Now the fourth, okay, is what I call the motive or the movement or the end result of forgiveness here. Okay? And turn with me to back to Colossians chapter 3. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Okay. The word peace here, you guys might know, it involves well-being or calmness, right? But also, it extends more than just that here. When it comes to the church body, this calmness, this well-being is translated to harmony and unity. And that's why he says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What? Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. It was because of God's peace that rules in your hearts that actually enables for God's body to be unified and harmonious here. So how does that relate to forgiveness here? What is the movement? What is the end result of forgiveness? What's the word that comes to mind? Reconciliation. So reconciliation is very simple. And more or less, it's a starting over with a clean slate. To begin a relationship where you had left off. So when it comes to former acquaintances, it means to perhaps shake your hands again. When it comes to former friendship, it could actually translate to hug each other again. When it comes to perhaps a rift between spouses, it could mean to making great love again. Reconciliation. Now, I have to admit here, this end game, this mode that we have in mind, doesn't really always work out that way, but that's the direction of forgiveness. And there are exceptions, like I said, when it comes to very difficult marriages, but that's another time to discuss. Okay, but we all have to know what the movement and the direction of forgiveness is. The end game, the end result is reconciliation. So, in other words, forgiveness and reconciliation are more or less two sides of the same coin, isn't it? Without reconciliation, there's no forgiveness. And if you have forgiveness here, it leads to reconciliation. But if you're going to have reconciliation, you've got to start to forgive, right? Two sides of the same coin. Okay, now, I'm going to make a list of people here. And please forgive me if I don't actually include everyone here. Okay, it's not off the list. I'm going to mention some people here, okay? And I'm going to mention some of the things that come to mind in terms of what they do, okay? In the end, I want you to think about what is the common denominator of what I'm doing here, okay? When I think of Bob, I think of the sound system. When I think of Pastor Tom, I think of his preaching, okay? When I think of, who else? When I think of Sandy, think about the refreshments and the drinks, okay? When I think of Sissy, I think about the children's ministry, things like that. What do you think the common denominator is here? What's the service during when? During the worship service. Now, these are some of the people, what I call the go-to people, okay, when it comes to making the worship service work, right? But when it comes to Colossians 3, the text that we were just considering, I consider this text as the go-to text when it comes to a time I found it very difficult to forgive. And so it's my hope that you can actually use this as a go-to text when you need to forgive. And remember the four dimensions of forgiveness here. The manner or the approach to forgive. The magnitude or the extent of forgiveness. The motive to forgive, okay? And then, of course, the movement and direction of forgiveness here. So I just hope that you find this helpful here, but I encourage you to just dig into this text. So let's bow for the word of prayer. So, Lord, I just simply pray that this text will be ingrained in our hearts, so when it comes time to forgive, this will be the go-to text to start the process of forgiveness. And I pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.